Today is the 13th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we continue our journey. The journey we've really just begun. But it feels like we've been on this journey a while, right? Like a lot of stuff has happened in the Bible. We've talked about plenty of things in these first 13 days. But we're really just getting started. But there's only one way to go, and that is forward. And that means the next step forward together. We're reading from the Christian Standard Bible this week. We're picking up the story in Genesis where we left off yesterday. Through trickery, Jacob and Rebecca have achieved the family blessing for Jacob, kind of cutting Esau out, who wants to now kill his brother. And his mother Rebecca is like, I can't lose both of my sons in one day. You gotta flee to my brother. So Jacob's uncle, Laban. And that's where we pick up the story. Genesis chapters 28 and 29 today. So Isaac summoned Jacob, blessed him, and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite girl. Go at once to Paddan Aram to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Marry one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you become an assembly of peoples. May God give you and your offspring the blessing of Abraham so that you may possess the land where you live as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob to Paddan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau noticed that Isaac blessed Jacob and sent him to Paddan Aram to get a wife there. When he blessed him, Isaac commanded Jacob, "Do not marry a Canaanite girl." And Jacob listened to his father and mother and went to Paddan Aram. Esau realized that his father Isaac disapproved of the Canaanite women. So Esau went to Ishmael and married, in addition to his other wives, Mahalath, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. She was the sister of Nebaioth. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and laid down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, with its top reaching the sky, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing there beside him, saying, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land on which you are lying. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out toward the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. He poured oil on top of it and named the place Bethel, though previously the city was named Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, "If God will be with me and watch over me during this journey I'm making, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's family, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give to you a tenth of all that you give me." Jacob resumed his journey and went to the eastern country. He looked and saw a well in a field. Three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it because the sheep were watered from this well. But a large stone covered the opening of the well. The shepherds would roll the stone from the opening of the well and water the sheep when all the flocks were gathered there. Then they would return the stone to its place over the well's opening. Jacob asked the men at the well, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they answered. "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" Jacob asked them. They answered, "We know him." "Is he well?" Jacob asked. "Yes," they said. "And here is his daughter Rachel coming with his sheep." Then Jacob said, "Look, it is still broad daylight. It's not time for the animals to be gathered. Water the flock, then go out and let them graze." But they replied, "We can't until all the flocks have been gathered and the stone is rolled from the well's opening. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. As soon as Jacob saw his uncle Laban's daughter, Rachel, with his sheep, he went up and rolled the stone from the opening and watered his uncle Laban's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept loudly. He told Rachel that he was her father's relative, Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. When Laban heard the news about his sister's son Jacob, he ran to meet him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then he took him to his house, and Jacob told him all that had happened. Laban said to him, "Yes, you are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him a month, Laban said to him, "Just because you're my relative, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he answered Laban, "I'll work for you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban replied, "Better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay with me." So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Since my time is complete, give me my wife so I can sleep with her." So Laban invited all the men of the place and sponsored a feast. That evening, Laban took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and he slept with her. And Laban gave his slave Zilpah to his daughter Leah as her slave. When morning came, there was Leah. So he said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked for you? Why have you deceived me?" Laban answered, "It is not the custom in our country to give the younger daughter in marriage before the firstborn. Complete this week of wedding celebration, and we will also give you this younger one in return for your working yet another 7 years for me." And Jacob did just that. He finished the week of celebration, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. And Laban gave his slave Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her slave. Jacob slept with Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was neglected, he opened her womb. But Rachel was unable to conceive. Leah conceived, gave birth to a son, and named him Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will love me now." She She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, "The Lord heard that I am neglected and has given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, "At last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne three sons for him." Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she named him Judah. Then Leah stopped having children. Matthew 9:18-38. As he was telling them these things, suddenly one of the leaders came and knelt down before him, saying, "My daughter just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So Jesus and his disciples got up and followed him. Just then, a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the end of his robe. For she said to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well." Jesus turned and saw her. "Have courage, daughter," he said. "Your faith has saved you." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house, he saw the flute players and a crowd lamenting loudly. "Leave," he said, "because the girl is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And news of this spread throughout that whole area. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus warned them sternly, "Be sure that no one finds out." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout that whole area. Just as they were going out, a demon-possessed man who was unable to speak was brought to him. When the demon had been driven out, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed, saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the ruler of the demons." Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Psalm 11. Refuge in the Lord. For the choir director. Of David. I have taken refuge in the Lord. How can you say to me, "Escape to the mountains like a bird"? For look, the wicked string bows. They put their arrows on bowstrings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord, his throne is in heaven. His eyes watch. His gaze examines everyone. The Lord examines the righteous, but he hates the wicked and those who love violence. Let him rain burning coals and sulfur on the wicked. Let a scorching wind be the portion in their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright will see his face. Proverbs 3:11-12. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. Okay, so let's start in the book of Genesis today because we see some more trickery going on in the family. We've seen a bunch of trickery. Abraham claimed that Sarah was his sister when he went to big cities, which according to the scriptures isn't a lie. It's the truth, but it's not the whole truth. And we see Isaac do the same thing with Rebekah to King Abimelech of Arar. Isaac and Rebekah have twin sons, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob, through trickery, or at least through an ill-fated trade, traded a bowl of stew to Esau in exchange for his birthright. Rebekah later then helps Jacob receive the blessing of the father, Isaac, before he dies, giving him everything, which offends Esau enough to want to kill his brother. So Jacob has to flee, and he flees to Rebekah's family, where he falls in love with Rachel, the younger daughter of his uncle, Laban. He agrees to work for 7 years to marry Rachel, and when the 7 years... 7 years. When the 7 years are over, he finally gets the love of his life, wakes up the next morning only to find out that the woman he's been with is actually Rachel's sister, Leah. So he, in effect, gets a taste of his own trickery, and he agrees to 7 more years of labor for Laban in order to marry Rachel, the one that he loves. And so we end up today with Jacob being married to two women who are sisters of one another. And you can only imagine what that household was like. Rachel is loved, but she's unable to conceive. Leah is neglected, but she's having children. These children are very important to the rest of the story. In today's reading, 4 sons were born from the union between Leah and Jacob. A son named Reuben, one named Simeon, one named Levi, and one named Judah. And these children being born are telling a story of their own. Like I said, one that affects the rest of the Bible, the rest of the story. Another interesting thing happened in Jacob's life as he's fleeing to Paddan Aram to his mother's family. He has this dream about a stairway to heaven, and he names this place Bethel. The ruins of this place still exist today. You can see it in the Promised Land films in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, a resource that allows us to visit a lot of biblical places. But the interesting thing about the geography of this area is that it's very rocky. It's very terraced. It kind of looks like a giant stairway. And so what Jacob dreamed is actually rooted in the geography. And then let's go over to Matthew for a second, a really famous story, the story of the woman with the issue of blood, as it's known, is told today in the book of Matthew. It's not the last time that we'll see a story like this. We're reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are the synoptic gospels, and they share a lot of the same stories. But this story very easily can become a mirror into our own soul. So the way that this goes is that the story of the woman with the issue of blood wasn't even really going to be the story. Jesus was on his way to do a totally different thing. One of the Hebrew leaders had come before Jesus and knelt down before him asking for help, like begging for help, because his daughter had just died. And he believed that if Jesus would come lay his hands on her, she could live. And so Jesus was on his way to this man's house, and the crowds were following along. And it's among the crowd that was following along that this woman with the issue of blood, she had been bleeding for 12 years, kind of moved through the crowd, and her faith told her if she could just get close enough, that she could just reach out and touch his clothes, that she would be made well. And so that's what she worked to do. And she reached out and touched his clothes, and she was made well. But there are a bunch of nuances in this story that really make it riveting. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. In other gospels, we'll find out that she spent everything she had. Nobody could make her well. Nobody could make her better. As we move forward in the Old Testament, we will invariably reach the giving of the law, and we will spend lots of time with the laws and statutes that God gives out to form a people. One of the things that is very important in the law is being clean, differentiating between clean and unclean, and there are all kinds of statutes about it. This woman, because of her bleeding, was unclean, which was supposed to be a regular monthly period of time that would go away. In this woman's case, this has been going on for 12 years. She's been unclean. And her idea that she could touch the rabbi Jesus and be healed is beautiful. Truly, it's beautiful. But anything that she touched would also become unclean, which could be a big problem in the culture. You don't just walk up to a Hebrew rabbi and make them ritually impure and unclean. It just didn't bother Jesus that much. He didn't go crazy and go, "You made me unclean, and now I can't go into God's presence, and I can't offer, and I can't this, and I can't that, and let's get this woman and shame her, or even worse." He just entered into the story. "Have courage, daughter," he said. "Your faith has saved you." It's really, really interesting how Jesus flies in the face of the traditions around him. After this woman is healed, he finally continues on his mission to go to this man's house whose daughter has just died. He arrives at the place only to find like a professional mourning crew there, which was customary. I mean, they lost their little girl. So you imagine that there's going to be grief and sadness and mourning. And often this would be a communal thing, and often there would even be professionals who would come and they would lament and sing songs of lament and cry and wail and make all kinds of noise, because this would let all of the neighbors, everybody around the area, understand what's going on. There is grief. There is mourning happening. And Jesus arrives into the midst of all this and is just basically, "You guys get out of here. Leave," he said, according to the Gospel of Matthew, because she's not dead, she's asleep. That turned the mourning into laughter, and not in a good way. Like, they stopped their mourning and started laughing at Jesus, because who is this guy? She is dead. We know she's dead. That's why we're here. Who is this guy to say she's just asleep? And so Jesus puts everybody outside and goes to the girl, and she is raised and restored, and the news of this obviously spreads throughout the region. So what is it? What is it in you? What is it in your heart that you feel like it's died? It's never going to happen. It's never going to work out. It's time to face the facts. And maybe it is. But what if it's not? What would happen if we brought this to Jesus again? Maybe we have many, many times, but what if we actually heard the words that these people heard? It's not dead. It's only asleep. Like, what happens in that moment? Does hope arise? Or does our mourning turn to laughter, but not in a good way? In the story that we read from Matthew today, the people stopped mourning and laughed at Jesus. But despite their laughter, they were incorrect. And so maybe some of us in our various life circumstances all over the world, maybe some of us can find hope and encouragement in that today. And so Jesus, we invite you into that. We've read this story and we confess that often when we think we know how things are, they turn out to be a little bit different than what we thought. And we can seek the counsel of 1,000 other human beings to give us their perspective, but only you know all things and you know what's going on. And so we cling to you, knowing that you are the author of life and you are the author and finisher of our faith. And so come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website where you find out what's going on around here. Today is the 13th day of January, and it is an anniversary. For me, it is the anniversary of the of my mother's departure. I can remember it very vividly, as if it were yesterday, last week, very recent, and yet today marks the 5-year anniversary. That's actually more surprising to me. Just doesn't feel like it was that long ago. My mom is my mom, right? And I had known her every day of my life. I still know her, but she passed away 5 years ago today. And she, like my father, he passed away before ministry was even a category that I would even mention with my name in it. But my mom, she saw all that, and she was a dabber with us, and she listened every day, and we had many a conversation. And so I miss my mom, and I try not to insert myself into many of these days. This isn't about me. I'm here with you on a journey together, and we are all students moving forward and trying to learn how to position ourselves in this world and live a God-honoring life. And so we're not really here about me, but there are some days where, yeah, I was just while reading, thinking about my mom, missing my mom. So I'm missing my mom, and I'm just telling my community that. I also think about what she knows now and what she has seen, and the hope that we will have an interesting conversation in the future. But for now, for those of us who have lost loved ones, whether decades ago or 5 years ago or in the last year, grief is a real thing. But hope is a real thing too. And what we learn in the scriptures is that there comes a time where death is swallowed up in victory and has no sting anymore. And isn't it that sting that sticks with us. But we have hope that it will not endure forever. So, anyway, it's the anniversary of my mother's passing. I can remember that. I can remember getting the call. I can remember being there and going through that entire day in a blur. And then coming back that evening and getting in front of the mic. And taking the next step forward, no matter what happens, and finding comfort in knowing that I wasn't alone either. None of us are alone. And I'm grateful. And enough about that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being in community and taking the next step forward every day brings life and comfort and a sense of stability and a sense of togetherness, then thank you. There is a link on the homepage, dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial a number of numbers, depending on where you are in the world, in the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036-088078 is the number to call. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, it's Jill from London, England. Just finished listening to January the 8th. Brian, I just want to say thank you. I thought that was a really insightful commentary on the Old Testament readings today. I've always struggled with those stories and trying to make sense of why they're in the Bible, and never really felt I kind of got it. I understand times were different, but why those pressures and why did that get included in scripture? Anyway, Lord, I give you thanks for a wider understanding. I want to pray today for all those who feel that turning to some sexual favors for others is the way that they're being called to live for you. Lord, let this be a place where we get strength to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. Lord, I pray for agencies that are working with those who are trafficked, for people in prostitution, for people who feel that the only way out is to marry their children in order that they can feed their family. There's so many things in the world that many of us have no experience of. We don't know how desperate people can be. But we just pray that we'll have a better understanding, and also individually, each one of us will be willing to trust God, even in those times when we can't see a way out, that we'll trust Him and wait for His answer. Amen.
We make mistakes and poor choices just about every day. Pitfalls surround us every step of the way. In fact, life is like a minefield. We're surrounded by exploding devices and snares, many cleverly disguised entrapments designed to catch us unawares. And they begin to pull us down even before the negativity clearly begins to show. And without God's Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to know which road will lead to life and which way produces pain, which road will lead to destruction and which path produces eternal gain. But as we begin to walk by faith instead of by sight, God's Holy Spirit will show us the wrong from the right. The spirit of discernment enables us to see the trap, pitfall, and the snare. And even the most cleverly disguised entrapments will all clearly be laid bare. I can even see that straight and narrow path that I've heard so much about, enabling me to walk with confidence without fear and doubt. Because God is with us, Emmanuel, no matter where we go. And as our relationship with the Father continues to grow, we feed on His Word daily and draw closer to Him. And He provides a lamp for our path that will never grow dim. Father, help us to stay on that path and to stay in that light. Strengthen us to resist those temptations coming from the left and the right. Help us to stay focused and firmly fixed on our goal. Help us to reject the world for the sake of our soul. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Drew from the Bay Area. Haven't heard from you lately, brother. Hope all is well. And Tito Ramirez. Haven't heard from you in a while either. Hope your mother improved. And once again, Brian and the Harden family, thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right. Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. And this is Dave from Dover, Delaware. And I've been a listener since 2011. And I just wanted to ask for a prayer request. I pastor a small church here in Dover, Delaware, and it's been very rough. Our finances have been month to month. I have been attacked myself, emotionally, physically. And I'm asking DAB friends, if you could just pray for me, pray for my family, as I pray for you every day. This is my first post that I've ever recorded. But I'm praying for all of you. Love and blessings.
Hi, this is for Remorseful Sinner. My name is Joy, and I heard you cry out to God, and I felt it in my spirit to call, to give you words of wisdom from the Most High God, what He says in His Word. He says, "My daughter, I hear you, and I love you. As I said, and as I continue to say, I have delivered you out of all your troubles. I am near those who have a broken heart, and I save those who have a contrite spirit. So know and trust that despite your many afflictions, I, your Lord, will deliver you out of all of them. God also says, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid of the enemy. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor will He forsake you. He has also said, my daughter, He has said, He will subdue all your iniquities, and He will cast it out. He will cast your sins out into the depths of the sea. So know that God values mercy over sacrifice. He's there with you, and He knows that He is always there with you, and He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to abide in Him. So be rest assured that there's nothing you will ever do that would ever, ever, ever make Him stop loving you. He will deliver you out of this. He has already done it. So just trust in Him. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, He will do a new thing. He will do a new thing. He will do a new thing. He will make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. So be rest assured, my darling. He's there with you. Amen.
This message is for a remorseful sinner, first-time caller, who called in on January the 9th. This is Paula, living on the rock, standing on the rock. As soon as you started to think about the wrongs you were doing, you were forgiven. Because Jesus knows your heart. He knows what's inside you. He knows what it is that drives you. Put your worries and concerns in His hands. He is the only one who can change things for you. Don't let the enemy put doubt and total chaos in your mind, because that's what He's about. As people says, The enemy is not in the clubs and in the crack houses. He's in the churches and the homes. He already has those other people. He needs to work on the ones that are loving God. That is why you're under attack, and you have to rebuke him. You have to reach out with prayer and surround yourself with people who are like-minded, who will hold you up like this group. You've come to a beautiful spot, a group of people who will lift you up and give you everything you need when it comes to being totally surrounded with a hedge of prayer and commitment. Keep pushing forward, my friend. Keep pushing forward. You are remorseful, and God knows that, and he will put his loving protection around you. Take care, sister. Thinking of you and praying.